Last week we said, in my translation of Psalm 139:14, that we are all wonderfully, frustratingly, differently made. And I think we all said amen to that because we know that. And our differences can be beautiful and wonderful, and our differences can be really frustrating, especially the closer we get to someone who is very different from us, the more our lives and our desires and our just ways of thinking and living in this world sometimes butt up against one another. But this morning, I want us to see that Jesus affirms and welcomes those differences between us. As he builds this movement, this church, this community. Because by any measure of personality difference, which we looked at last week and we're going to continue to look at in a few minutes here, Jesus called an oddly diverse group of disciples. Whether it came to how they related to outsiders, you know, you had some who wanted to protect the community and keep others out. You had some who wanted to bring others in. When it came to conflict, you had some of Jesus' disciples whose tendency was to fight, and some whose tendency was towards the flight side of our instincts. When it came to faith, you had some who trusted without seeing, and others who needed to see to believe. When it came to politics, you had some who nudged their way in with the powers that be, and some who just wanted to rebel. When it came to religiosity, and if you extend Jesus' followers out a little bit, you had Pharisees like Nicodemus, the most religious and pious and upright and righteous, and you had women of the street like Mary. When it came to class, you had Roman military higher-ups, authorities, and you had blind beggars following Jesus. And the list goes on, and the differences grew exponentially as the gospel went out beyond the Jewish people and into all of the nations of the world. And what I want you to see this morning in Luke 6 is that Jesus did this on purpose. It wasn't an accident. Look at Luke 6. Now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. You see how intentional and purposeful Jesus is as he shapes this community. It's no accident that the 12 disciples that we know, their names of, are listed here. It's no accident that that group of disciples was really a diverse, and almost impossibly diverse group of people. Jesus was purposely bringing together different kinds of people into his community. Why? Why? Well, here's my assessment. Jesus was bringing in different people into his community so that there would be no doubt that God's grace is available to anyone. Right? Because if it were only a certain kind of people, we might think that. Oh, it's just for these kinds of people. No. God's grace is available to anyone. So that the church would be a place of healing for everyone. Last week we said that with every personality type, with every one of our tendencies, each of us has a shadow side too. A way that we take our kind of personality and use it in ways that can be harmful to us or to other people. The church is a place of healing for everyone, no matter what that shadow side is. Jesus did it so that we could see that the Spirit of God can use anyone to transform the world in love. And again, last week we saw that chart about how all of these Bible characters that God used in all of their differences, their different wirings and gifts and experiences to use to bring the kingdom of God to earth. So what, then? So what do we do with all of this? Lauren and I were having a discussion yesterday, and you know, she was going to share about some of her experience with personality, and she's like, you know, a lot of it seems like up here. What do we do with this knowledge of who we are as people? and without doing some more extensive work into it. And here is a few things that I think we can do with this. Not just our personality, our wiring, but with all of the things we've looked at throughout the fall, our stories, our passions, our gifts, our wiring, our personalities. Here's what I think we can do with these things. One, I think we can be a little bit more comfortable in our own skin. Do any of you feel a little competitive sometimes? Wish I could be more like that person. Like that person is really a successful person. That people really like that person. There's no standard of what exactly a human being has to look like when it comes to personality. So be a little more comfortable in your own skin. I think knowing this allows us to know why some things and people require a little bit more out of us than others. Again, one of the things Lauren's going to talk about was the difference between an extrovert and an introvert. Very basic personality difference, and we talked about it last week. Extroverts get their energy from outside, from other people. Introverts tend to get their energy from inside, a lot of times from being alone or with a very small group of intimate friends. And so for those people, the opposite can be harder. It takes more energy sometimes for an extrovert to take time to be alone and stop. To stay in on Friday night, or for an introvert to go out and be with a group of people, go to a party or a wedding reception with people that you don't know. That can be harder. And it's good to know that about yourself. To know, not that you won't ever get stretched out of your comfort zone, but so that when you do, you're aware of it and you can prepare for it. And you can recover from it. To understand why you're like going a little bit crazy. Be like, okay, maybe I just need some time to myself. So I think you can understand why certain things are harder for you than other things, and why certain people might be harder for you to connect with than other people. Maybe just because of personality differences, not because they're a bad person or you're a bad person, but just because of your differences might make it harder to connect with some people. And again, that doesn't mean you shouldn't connect with people who are different from you. It just means to be aware of those things, so that you can give the energy and the effort that's required in a given relationship. Third, we can determine moral issues versus preferences. Okay, this is really big. This is really big. A lot of times when we argue, it's just about preferences. And we make them into moral issues. You should be more like this. You should be less like that. A lot of times they're just our preferences. Just what comes most naturally to us. And once we realize that, then we can focus on the real moral issues. It's not that there are no moral issues. It's not that there are things that we shouldn't say, no, that can't happen in our community or in my life. But we need to distinguish and be very clear about what is a preference and what is that big moral issue or that sin, that thing that's really doing damage. Fourth, we can continue to put another piece in the puzzle of our calling. So again, we've looked at our stories, we've looked at our passions, we've looked at our gifts, now we're looking at our personality or our wiring. All of these come together as we discern how God has called us to live. And I hope that as you are just more aware of yourself, and we're going to do an activity in a few minutes that will help you maybe even become a little bit more aware, that will help you to say, okay, well maybe this is a ministry I'm really called to. God has made me for this. And again, there might be other times where you say, well, this isn't really my strength or really my preference, but I can do it. I'm called to do it. I'm part of a community. I'm going to sacrifice for it. But you can make that distinction and know when you're doing something that's in your wheelhouse or in your sweet spot and when you're sacrificing for the good of the community. You can be aware of that. And lastly, I think, by being more aware of who we are and our differences, the church can have better conversation and be more effective in our mission. Be more effective in our mission. Scott McKnight has a book out called The Fellowship of Difference. He's talking about the church, and he says this. He says, getting the church right is so important. The church is God's world-changing social experiment of bringing unlikes and difference to the table to share life with one another as a new kind of family. When this happens, we show the world what love, justice, peace, reconciliation, and life together are designed by God to be. The church is God's show and tell for the world to see how God wants us to live as a family. Most of us know how hard it is to live as our actual biological family, right? Can I get an amen? Right? You know in your family that there are a wide variety of differences of who you are and your different personalities, right? And those are people who pretty much share your story. Pretty much people who look like you. Pretty much people who have shared kind of the same culture and upbringing as you. The church is supposed to go way beyond that and bring people in whose stories are radically different and whose passions and gifts and experiences of life are just totally different, who look different, who speak differently. That's what the church is supposed to do, is bring people like that together. So this is a difficult thing that we're called to do. Let's first of all be aware of how difficult that is. When Jesus says, count the cost before you follow me, this is part of the cost, is that we have to acknowledge the radical differences that Jesus is bringing together into a new family, into a new community. We have to be willing to embrace people who might be different than ourselves. We have to be aware of our own shadow sides instead of just other people's shadow sides to how they were brought up or how they live or think about life. But it's worth it because that's what Jesus was doing. That's the whole mission. That's his whole vision, is to create this new family and to break down the barriers that divide us. I hope and I think that this self-knowledge helps us with the really important and difficult questions that all of us need to be asking as followers of Jesus. How do I connect with God? And how do I channel God's blessing to the world? The more you know about yourself, the more you're able to hear God's answers to those questions. Let's pray. Radically gracious and welcoming and generous God, you are drawing all people to yourself. And God, we need you to give us that grace, to give us a spirit that is radically welcoming in people who are different than us. That energy to break down those barriers that you've already been breaking down through the cross and through the resurrection and through the Holy Spirit coming. We pray that you would give us what we need to catch that vision, to get out of getting caught up in the things that divide us and get us into the thing that you have called us to. We need your spirit for that. We need your spirit desperately for that work because it's so far beyond what we are able to do in ourselves. We ask for that spirit. We ask for your grace as we try this experiment. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.